Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show being brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection anywhere. You need to stock up for that tailgate. You want to be the tailgate everybody wants to go to. Soft drinks, snacks, water. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. They're right there at the register when you exit. And the pickle bar is second to none. Stock up for the weekend. Stock up for your tailgate right now at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I am in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Mifflinburg at Shikellamy tonight at 7 o'clock, 6:30. The airtime on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Tonight, Sealands Grove takes on Shamokin, Eagle 107 tonight. And Lewisburg and Milton square off tonight. Lewisburg broadcast on the Valley 100.9. And Steve Williams and the Milton broadcast on 1380 WMLP. Steve Williams will have that call tonight. And Matt Cotrello will have the Lewisburg call. And Pat O'Brien and Ryan Brandt tonight working on Sealands Grove. And Kevin and Dave Ritchie, the chief, together tonight. Kevin Herr is alongside.
Wonderful believing to be a strongly, part of the
believing strongly that Tim Tebow could have made a roster.
Now it's starting to look better and better, actually.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we were talking about the Washington issue at quarterback right now, and one of the things was you were talking about an email we got regarding not many options out there at quarterback. Well, why not trade RG3? And that actually is probably the smartest thing right now Washington could do is put him as the third-string quarterback because they use that fifth-year option, which I believe he's like getting $3, $4 million. But Washington still holds a right for 2016, and it's only guaranteed if he gets injured until the league day of 2016. So basically, it's if he gets injured at all in 15, they have to pay him. For 16.
Right.
So if they sit him, he doesn't obviously get injured, especially if, God forbid, he gets injured in practice. That would be the worst case scenario for the Redskins. But if he sits and doesn't get injured and he's the third string quarterback, they can release him at the end of the year and all they lose is 1 year salary. Now,
which is exactly right.
And the other side of that is who in the right mind is going to make that trade for RG3 and roll the dice on $16.5 million on a guy who right now is a third-string quarterback.
But this also tells you, when you draft in the first round a quarterback, you better be right. You can miss on a linebacker. You can miss on a wideout. You can't miss on a quarterback. It set San Diego back years drafting Ryan Leaf. It has set the Redskins back years drafting RG3. You have to be able to hit that. You have to be able to hit it. If you don't, then you have a long-term problem. And I'm talking like you're talking about a five-year problem, and it extends to six or seven because you're going to have to draft somebody else at some point, and you better hit on it.
And personally, I think the Eagles have been rolling the dice with Bradford.
Agreed.
Because of what they gave up. Now, it may not be a 4 or 5 year draft mistake, but this is a draft mistake that could hurt them for 2 or 3 years.
Right.
And the draft mistake I mean is by not drafting the quarterback they had an opportunity to get in Mariota.
Right. Okay. Very quickly, let's get to the Pittsburgh Sports Report. I mean, Kevin's always accurate with his stuff, and Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, is always perfect and spot on with his as well. Tony, welcome.
Yeah, it's good to be here, but if you're looking for the one with the perfect record, you may have dialed the wrong number.
No, Tony.
Okay, so let's get to it. The magic number dwindles down to six. Even when the Pirates have success, the magic number goes down. I've said that it's imperative for them, Tony, to be within two by the end of the weekend if they want to have a real shot at it. What's your thought?
Yeah, I think that's probably right. I mean, you know, again, you know, just like you said, this is a team with 93 wins, games to go, and they are, you know, a ways back. I mean, it's getting to the point where it's almost impossible to do this thing. So, yeah, when they play St. Louis, you know, you're absolutely right. They've got to be, you know, you don't want to go into that series three back into a three-game series. So, you know, and frankly, it's all they can do to keep the Cubs off of their tail. They were able to extend that lead to 3.5 games. That half day came by the Cubs not playing yesterday, which certainly helps any help you can get. But, yeah, I mean, you know, right now the three teams with the winningest records in baseball are all right here, you know, jammed up in the NL Central, and it's going to be a heck of a battle. It's going to be a shame to see only one of those teams go on to the, you know, quote-unquote Final Four of Major League Baseball, but that's the way you know, the cookie crumbles this year, and if you want to do something better than that, you're going to have to figure out a way to beat the Cardinals over the 162-game long haul.
Agreed, but I also think that this brings about a conversation and a change of rules, Tony. I strongly feel that since you play 47% of your games within the division, winning the division gives you the right to go to the playoffs. But I think by the fact that you also play 53% of your games outside of the division, I strongly feel it should be a 1-5 setup, and you should not be penalized for having the second best record in baseball by playing a one-game playoff.
Yeah, I mean, I think that makes sense. You know, I think that makes plenty of sense. And, I think that if baseball's doing this right, you know, you go ahead and you let this kind of stuff play out, and you see what the pros and cons of this current setup is, and you talk about it, and you adjust accordingly. You know, I'm sure there will be seasons where, you know, a team sort of backs into the wild card, and maybe that's, you know, deserving. You know, but you're right, the way this year is set up, boy, especially if the Pirates end up, you know, continuing to play well over this nine-game stretch, and say they go, you know, 6-3. You know, and they win 96 games or 99 games this year. What you just said certainly would be a legitimate argument, but it's going to be interesting to see how this thing plays out, because this is going to be a very, very interesting, you know, week and a half.
Well, as a lifelong Red Sox fan, I watched the 1978 Red Sox win 99 games and lose a one-game playoff to the Yankees 5-4, and then of course there was no wild card back then.
Yep.
To me, they should just take it. And the same thing with the NFL, Tony. Take it, and the NFL should seed it 1-6. And I don't care if you're the wild card. You should be allowed to host. You won enough games. And I strongly feel if this happened this year, they seeded 1-5 in the American and National Leagues, right now Texas and Houston would play the one game, and the Dodgers and the Mets would play the one game. The Pirates would still play the Cubs, but it would be a five-game series.
That certainly sounds more like the way the season has played out, right? I mean, especially when you talk about the Pirates' struggles within their division and what they've done outside the division. They have soundly beaten the Dodgers and the Mets, you know, head-to-head. And so certainly it looks like they should be, you know, rewarded for that. So, you know, I don't know that it's I think what you're saying makes plenty of sense. And, again, if baseball approaches this the right way, you certainly have that conversation. Or maybe you agree to have it. You know, maybe you let this thing play out for another year and then you have it or something like that. But to me, if they're willing to make these kind of changes, there's no reason you shouldn't revisit it every so often and get it right. And it seems like they should have a chance to do that.
Now, the next part is how well they're playing right now. They took 2 out of 3 from the Dodgers. They swept 4 from Colorado. Now they have, obviously, the Cubs. Your thoughts on how they have played here down the stretch?
Well, you know, they're getting a good starting pitching. You know, again, that's a relative term when you're looking at how things play out when you're in Colorado. What Jeff Lott did yesterday qualifies as a pretty solid start in Colorado. You pitch into the sixth inning, you keep your team in the game. So I think that's turned a little bit. The bullpen, I think, has really started to reestablish itself. They went through a bit of a lull. Mark Melancon now has 9 straight, you know, no-hit innings out of the bullpen, so he's been very, very solid. And quite frankly, the thing that I think is most impressive is they have enough infield depth that they found a way to get timely hits and to survive without Jung Ho Kang in the middle of that lineup. Now, again, that's also relative when you look at Colorado. It's easy to score a ton of runs there. So this weekend will be a heck of a test They're going to face Lester and Arrieta back-to-back, you know, we'll see how those bats can perform on the road against a team much better than the Rockies.
Okay, let's get to the Steelers for a moment. They've got the Rams coming up. They also got Le'Veon Bell back this week. What does that mean, in your opinion, despite how well D'Angelo Williams has run the ball? What does it mean for the overall look of the Steeler offense?
And I think they're getting their best offensive player back, and that's after 2 weeks of some pretty good offense. They only put 21 up against New England, but they moved the ball all day. And then, of course, they had just an offensive explosion last week against San Francisco. So hard to tell what that means against that competition. The 49ers were so good in the first week against Minnesota, so bad last week. I suppose somewhere in the middle is the truth there as far as how the Steelers are playing. But we know what Le'Veon Bell is. You know, we've seen him really for a season and a half, really after he got healthy in his rookie season. Through all of last season, he was excellent, and he came into camp in great shape and served his suspension and seems to have understood what he did and seems to be taking responsibility for it. Time will obviously tell as far as that goes, Steve. But, yeah, they're getting – I think you can make the argument that certainly this is one of the best all-around running backs, if not the best all-around running back in the National Football League going into his third season. So it just adds a ton. I think it makes it interesting to see how – Todd Haley is going to use D'Angelo Williams, but now you're going from, you know, D'Angelo Williams being the guy you're leaning on to probably being one of the better alternate backs off the bench in the league. And, again, that all comes down to him staying healthy. And you think about Martavis Bryant coming back in a couple of weeks, and then maybe a month or two after that, you're looking at the potential return of Maurkice Pouncey. So this offense is really set up to continue to do some good things.
Do we have any idea through 2 weeks where the Steeler defense is based on the fact that they played Brady and the Patriots and then played the 49ers, who were playing at 10 o'clock in the morning their time?
Right. No, you know, I don't think you do. I think there's some positives to take, certainly from last week's game, and I think that's the play of the defensive line and right. The play of Ryan Shazier, quite frankly, through both games. He has been just as advertised. He's really been dynamic. He's been extremely disruptive. He makes plays in the run game. He makes plays in the pass game. And there are times that you got to figure, you know, he's getting to the ball so quickly, there are times he's almost even overrunning plays. That's something that the more experience he gets, you think will probably sort itself out. As Mike Tomlin said, they asked him if Shazier plays too fast, and Tomlin said, no. You know, we'll take him arriving early every time. That's certainly much better than the alternative. But I think that there is some improvement in the defensive line. Two big sacks at the beginning of the game on third downs by the defensive lineman without having to blitz. That's huge. And I think that if the line and the linebackers can continue to play on this positive trend, then that's going to take some pressure off what I still think is a below-average secondary.
The Steelers will then play this game, and before we talk again, Tony, they'll play again on Thursday night. They've got the Ravens. That's the Thursday night game. Typically, how does Mike Tomlin like to handle that turnaround from a Sunday game to a Thursday game?
You know, I'd have to check and see what his record is. I mean, I know it's something that he does bemoan every press conference when that happens.
Everybody does.
Telling you how difficult it is, and then he tells you how they're never going to use that as an excuse. But he does make sure to get that out there so we all hear it.
Right.
You know, I think the depth of this team defensively, especially the linebacker core, even the defensive line, and with their weapons on offense should help in that regard. And right now, quite frankly, the position that the Ravens are in, and not that you're resting anybody anyway, but the Ravens are a team that is really having to scramble right now to get their, you know, right. to get their feet under them. So, and heck, you know, who knows? The Pirates are going to have their hands full this week in St. Louis, so, you know, they could have the same record as the Ravens going into that Thursday game. That's certainly not out of the question. But I think their depth does help them in this regard, and again, as well as we've seen D'Angelo Williams play, that should help as well.
Well, it's the last Thursday game they'll play for the year because you're only allowed to play one in season. The only two teams that are allowed to play multiple Thursday games are the two that played in the opening game of the year, and that's the Patriots and the Steelers, because that's opening week and it's been 2 weeks since your last preseason game. But after that, the rules fall into place. You're not allowed. So they get this out of the way, but it's a division game as well, regardless of the fact that the Ravens are a bit wounded right now.
Yeah, I mean, again, that's an NFL schedule that, you know, I think, you know, I don't know how much John Harbaugh and Mike Tomlin would agree on, although I think they'd both be in agreement that they would much rather this game be played on a Sunday, but that's the NFL for you. You know, that's the way the breaks go. And again, you talk about the team who's allowed, or maybe we should use the phrase, has to play two of those Thursday games. One of them being the Patriots. That, I guess, is their a reward for winning a Super Bowl, is that you have to, you end up playing two of those games. But, after 2 weeks, I think there's a lot of questions unanswered all across the NFL. I think there's a lot of, you know, shrugging of the shoulders. I don't know what we're seeing here with the Seahawks, the Ravens. You look at a Rams team that was a world beater, beating the Seahawks in week one, and then loses to what appears to be a pretty bad Washington Redskins team. Yeah. And they got beat soundly in that game. So, I don't know what the Ravens, or I'm sorry, I don't know what the Rams are going to give the Steelers next week. I know the Rams defensive line is going to be tough, but this Steeler offensive line, you know, in addition to the offense playing well and the defense playing well against San Francisco, the best unit on the Steelers team may well have been their offensive line last week.
And by the way, Tony, last night the Red Wings and Penguins played in the preseason. We're finally at that point as well. So
unbelievable.
What's the initial impression there?
I think it's, obviously going to be a little bit similar to last season. This is a top-heavy team. They've tried to take some pressure off of Crosby and Malkin by bringing in Phil Kessel,
who
got off to a good start his first preseason game, picked up 3 points, I believe. But do they have the depth? I mean, that's really where the questions are going to be. Hard to look at the Penguins and say they are one of the five or six teams that you envision in the Stanley Cup conversation, but they're certainly a playoff team. And with the talent they have, all it takes is getting hot. So, again, we're going to watch a regular season go by where we expect them to play well and position themselves for a playoff run. And, like it has been for so long now, what do they do in the spring?
Tony, thanks. Have a great weekend. Appreciate it.
Always enjoy it. Thank you, Steve.
Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Kevin's complete review of the interview in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Attention car buyers, if you've been waiting for a deal of a lifetime, the time is now. During the month of September, take advantage of savings like never before. Sunbury Motors Hyundai has special purchase deals, new cars at certified used prices. That's right, brand new 2014 Hyundai blowouts with full warranty, 10 years, 100,000 miles. Buy a Hyundai Sonata 2.0 Limited with over $9,000 in savings. Or a Hyundai Genesis R-Spec Sedan, an unbelievable $14,000 off. Or a Hyundai Elantra GT, $7,300 in savings. We only have 5 of these cars left with over $48,000 in savings. And it is only at the official sponsor of Great Cars at Great Prices, Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury. Or online at sunburymotors.com.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the Pickle Bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Pirates with a 2-1 lead on the Cubs in the bottom half of the seventh inning at Wrigley.
Did you see what happened with Philly last night?
Well, I know they lost, but
they lost to the Marlins.
Okay, and the relevancy of that is what?
Well, we were talking the other day about how I said that the Phillies would not win 60 games this year.
And the relevancy is what?
They are still under 60 games, and they have a set with the Nationals on the road this weekend.
These two teams are going to make the playoffs.
I understand that.
Gave the score.
Do you realize that not many of my predictions ever come true? So I'm just enjoying this while it lasts.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The Jordan Reed thing. That didn't go well for you.
Leading receiver. For the Redskins.
They scored one touchdown offensively.
That was a rushing touchdown.
Oh, you're going to get the entire staff drug tested. I'm telling you. Are you proud of yourself?
Leading receiver for the Redskins last night.
Are you proud of yourself?
My chest is sticking out a little further than normal today.
Over what?
An accurate prediction.
They got crushed. What are you talking about?
But the tight end played well.
So that Fells and Donnell, they outplayed them.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. Our thanks to Greg Pickle from PennLive.com. Joined us in the 3:30 half hour. And to Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, who joined us in the 4 o'clock half hour. Open lines between now and the end of the show at 1-800-795-9565. That is 1-800-795-9565. The Steelers will play Sunday. They'll take on the Rams. They get Le'Veon Bell back. And then have to have a quick turnaround where they're at home to then take on the Baltimore Ravens Thursday night. Kevin refuses to watch Thursday night football. This shall be tested.
When did I say I would refuse to watch Thursday night football?
Oh, you're changing now.
No, I said I didn't like Thursday night football. I didn't say I wasn't going to watch it.
Are you going to like it this? Are you going to like it this week?
Yeah, I'll watch it this week. I just don't like having two Thursday night games in the first month of the season.
Yeah, but you only have one Thursday night game, technically.
Well, yeah. I mean, one that's impacted the same way. You're right. You know, I mean, the opener was different.
Only two teams are allowed to play two Thursday night games, and that's the two teams that play the opening night.
Which is fine.
Everyone else, you're only required to play one.
But the Steelers have, it's such a weird schedule this year because they play that Thursday night game and then they don't play for 11 days.
Most teams that play Thursday night don't play for 11 days.
Well, no, they play on Monday night instead of the following Sunday. That's what I meant by that.
It's fine.
Well, it's not fine because then my team isn't playing for two straight Sundays. It means I have to watch something else.
Or maybe do something.
Well, that's not going to happen. Listen, I'll tell you one game that I would actually watch this weekend if I had the opportunity to, and it doesn't involve my team. It would be the Ravens and Bengals. You know, I know it's really early in the season. We're talking week three, but this is a huge, huge game between these two teams. If Cincinnati wins this, the Ravens go 0-3. The Bengals have an unbelievable start to the season, and one of their toughest competitors for the division is going to be at the bottom without a win.
They're in trouble, especially with Suggs now out for the year. They're in trouble. So, I mean, that's a big part of it.
You know, I know you hate that, but the Ravens, I really think the Ravens have to win this game in week three because I don't think they can afford to fall behind that many games to Cincinnati.
Three teams since 1994 started 0-3 to have made the playoffs.
What were those three? Do you remember? Do you remember? Of course you remember. What am I talking about?
Buffalo. I want to say Buffalo, the Rams, and I can't remember the third one. And none of them got beyond the divisional round. So,
trying to find it here.
Yeah. Well, let's see. Three teams since 94 started 0-3.
Well, let's see. 1981, the Jets finished 10-5-1, lost in the wild card. Let's see. That was a strike year, so that doesn't really count. The 92 Chargers lost in the divisional after a 3-0 start. Finished 11-5. Or 0-3 start, rather. Thank you. Lions were 0-3 in 95, finished 10-6, lost in the NFC wild card, and the 98 Bills.
Yeah. There you go.
That was when Doug Flutie came in for the Bills.
Was it?
Flutie Flakes.
Yeah, and they replaced him with Rob Johnson in the playoff against Tennessee.
Well, he was the starter, I think, wasn't he? Yeah, Rob Johnson was the starter that year and got hurt. Lost the first three games. Flutie came in off the bench, replaced him in week six. And did I thought Flutie played in the playoffs, too.
No, Rob Johnson started against Tennessee.
Okay.
Is that they lost to Tennessee that year, right? That was the...
I don't know. It just says lost in the wild card playoff.
That was the miracle game. The Frank Wycheck play. Rob Johnson was the starting quarterback. It was a stunning move that shocked everyone in Buffalo. I've never been a believer that you can't lose your job through an injury. Oh, yes, you can. If the other guy comes in and plays better, oh, yes, you can. If you'd like, we can find Drew Bledsoe's cell number for you.
Rob Johnson finished the year 3-3. Doug Flutie was 7-3 that year.
Mm-hmm.
Who'd you say they lost to in the wild card that year?
Tennessee.
Okay. I'm showing the Dolphins for that year, but I may be looking wrong.
Well, no, there was one year where they lost to Tennessee on the Wycheck play.
Okay. In 90, yeah.
But I can assure you that Rob Johnson replaced Doug Flutie as the starting quarterback in the playoff game.
Okay. Listen, I'm not trying to find a mistake in you, believe it or not. I'm really not.
Well, no, he did. He started. It was a big, big problem because Flutie had played so well. And, again, Rob Johnson was always one of those, how can I phrase Rob Johnson? Rob Johnson was one of those fool's gold quarterbacks. Look at him set up. Look at him throw the ball. Look at him in a game. Okay. More Kevin ramblings here.
By the way, I have a box of Flutie Flakes in my collection. Just, you're always talking about my collection. I have Flutie Flakes in my collection.
I would have eaten them. Let's see. Ryan Shazier out for Steelers against Rams. Bad.
Yeah.
Because he's really, really good. What's the Steelers' best plan at running back? I don't know. Le'Veon Bell. That's not what I meant.
Okay.
No offense to D'Angelo Williams. Your job is done.
That's what my point was. I don't think you're not going to see D'Angelo Williams come in as a third down back, because as we talked about the last couple of weeks, that's the one thing that Bell brings to the table that nobody else does.
He's going to get 90 to 95% of the reps.
And this might be a good thing for Williams, who I don't think at his age would be able to play every game, every down, and stay healthy. This is the way I think he finishes a full season, though.
Rob Manfred is meeting with Pete Rose. Is this true consideration of lifting the ban, or is Manfred just giving Rose a meeting? Well, he told him back in the spring he was going to meet with him, so he's meeting with him, and he's going to tell him that part where you're still circling the fog at airport, fog hasn't lifted.
Well, that's what I mean, after everything that came out over the last year, is he just meeting with him because he said he was going to meet with him, or is he really considering possibly lifting the ban? I can't imagine he would be considering it.
Well, I think he looked at all the evidence, and I'm sure he looked at it and said, we're not doing this. But he promised him a meeting, so he's going to get a meeting. At least tell him face-to-face what the deal is and why. There's no need to do it in a press release. There's no need to do anything else. I mean, you can lead by actually sitting down face-to-face with somebody and saying, look, I did look at everything. I really did. I just don't see anything that changes anything. And the report that came out that we looked further into and talked with John Dowd, he said he didn't go into it into the report about you placing bets while playing because they didn't have enough evidence. Well, the ESPN thing appears that there's enough evidence. I mean, what are your answers to all these things? and let him answer it. Let him at least tell you. At least give him his. Let him allow him to have his side of the story told. And then it's up to you to sit there after hearing his side of the story. You know, it doesn't hurt to hear him out. And then after that, make a decision.
It's just amazing how at one time a Pete Rose autograph was, you know, like gold, and it's now, because of his situation, he has signed so much stuff that there's really not much value to it anymore.
Well, that's your problem.
No. It's just kind of a thought is what I'm just.
I'm saying, but that's your problem if you have a Pete Rose sign thing that has no value. That's your problem.
Absolutely agree.
That's not his problem.
No.
That's not his problem. He's already received the appearance fee and the money for doing it.
Right. I'm just saying, you know, there was one time growing up where if you had a Pete Rose autograph, it was like gold. And now if you have a Pete Rose autograph, it's like, oh, I've got 17 of them sitting in my closet.
Well, I mean, let's look at Jack Ham. All right. Jack, as an example, has signed everything for everybody, I swear. I mean, I've sat out there now with him for 16 years. For 16 years. He and I have been sitting there for 6 months. We haven't been sitting there for 6 years. He and I have sat out there every Saturday for 16 years. And the number of people, the number of autographs that he has signed, I mean, I remember there was a point last year, and I kidded about this maybe 9 months ago. And we went to a commercial break, and there was nobody there, standing there. And he looks at me and goes, I can't believe this. He says, there's nobody there. He says, has my star fallen that much? I said, Jack, for crying out loud. I said, this is 15. I said, after 15 years, don't you think you signed everything here? He says, that's actually a pretty good point.
Well, but you know what? That proves my point even further. I mean,
Jack doesn't care about your value. I mean, but he also is signing it and not getting a single dime for doing
exactly.
it. Now it's not as if Jack has not done card shows or whatever. He has done
sure
a couple. He's done them as favors a couple of times for people. And that's the reason he's done it, is as a favor. He is not that has not been his cottage industry. Jack, okay, is a coal brokerage, energy brokerage company. That's where he makes his money, along with what he does announcing Penn State football.
But see, Jack has signed a lot of things, and as you said, has done some, but hasn't done tons. But that shows you just how much more of Pete Rose autographs are out there compared to Jack Ham. Jack Ham's autograph football is still worth well over $200. A Pete Rose baseball is not worth nearly that. But again, that's because of how many, even though Jack has autographed just about anything anybody's ever asked him to do, that's how many more Pete Rose has out there.
I've seen him autograph cards, pictures, mini helmets, regular helmets, Penn State jerseys, Steeler jerseys. I've seen him autograph everything. And then, you know, like somebody will bring up a hat, he'll autograph the hat, then they'll really cheapen it, and I sign it. I'm thinking, boy, it
just went from $100 to $4.
No, tell me about it.
I've got a few Steve Jones posters signed.
Lou Prado has a new book, all right, which we're going to have Lou on the show next Friday.
Oh, that's good. We haven't had him on in a while.
And the new book is going to be 100 Things Every Penn Stater Should Do Before They Die. Now, I do know that number 33 is about Jack. Number 82 is listen to Steve Jones and Jack Ham broadcast Penn State football. Okay? So I said to Lou, I said, so Jack standalone is 33, but the second I enter the equation, he falls to 82.
Things drop off the table at that point.
But what Lou does a lot of sidebars with that, for example. So when he gets to 82 and Penn State and listen to Jack and me do the games, right, which is part of it. But then he does a sidebar about Fran and George. You know, so there's a lot of – so there's many more than 100 items in there, many more than 100 items, because he'll take an item and then he'll sidebar it. And there could be a couple of sidebars. But it's one of those fun books where you sit down. you know, and you're sitting at the tailgate, and you flip through. Okay, look, hey, look, it's number 40. Hey, hike Mount Nittany. Hey, I've hiked Mount Nittany. Hey, I've listened to the broadcast. I, you know, whatever. It's one of those fun books. And it is hitting the shelves, I think this weekend, it is hitting the shelves. And we're going to have, you know what? It's hitting the shelves on October 1, and we're going to have them on the show October 2.
Is one of them walk through the gates at Beaver Stadium onto the field?
I don't know. I don't know. He's supposed to, I'm supposed to get a copy of it. I haven't received it yet. But I mean, the only reason I know the numbers, he's told me what numbers Jack happens to be and what the broadcast is, because we went to the Duquesne Club together and we were driving down together. He was, you know, and then I'm at the Duquesne Club, I was kidding around and I said, so Jack standalone, Lou is 33, but if I enter into the equation, he falls all the way to 82. So he drops 49 spots just by my name.
If it's not, it should be. Because even in an empty stadium, walking through those gates onto the field, which I did a couple of times, and being a Penn State fan and having friends and family that have gone to Penn State as well, even in an empty stadium, it's still pretty special.
I can understand that.
Well, you know, I wouldn't expect you to have the same type of feeling about it, though.
I've walked through them so many times.
Right. It happened twice. Yeah. I did it twice. Both times were in August. Both times the stadium was completely empty. But, you know, not ever having anywhere close to the ability to be able to do that in a uniform, it was as close as I was ever going to get.
Right. Yeah, I've been to so many scrimmages in there that, you know, I don't.
And the second one for me was being in the broadcast booth at Beaver Stadium. Boy, was that a disappointment. Man. That view stinks. Like, man, that view stinks. The only neat spot is when we're watching the Big Ten replay, and my son's looking and goes, "Who's the big guy behind Mr. Jones?" That would be me. Thanks.
That's right. It was the blue white game.
Yeah. Oh. Thanks, kid.
All right. It's like talking to your kid. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment. Wrap it up on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the Pickle Bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza is extending their free ride 0% financing for 72 months program, plus they're bringing back the popular Sign and Go. SMC is where you want to be if you want a new 2015 Ford Focus. Sign and Go for only $199 a month or take $3,000 off plus 0% for 72 months. SMC is where you want to be if you want a new 2015 Ford Fusion. Sign and Go for only $215 a month or take $1,500 off plus 0% for 72 months. SMC is where you want to be if you want a new 2015 Ford Escape. Sign and Go for only $239 a month or take $2,750 off plus 0% for 72 months. Sunbury Motors has over 150 new Ford trucks available with savings up to $10,500. Choose from over 100 new 2015 F-150s and take up to $5,500 off plus 0% financing for 72 months. SMC is going to make September the month to remember by selling 75 new Fords in the next 10 days. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, proudly serving Central PA for over a century. Sale prices include rebates, tax and tags extra.
All right, welcome back. Great to have you with us. We're closing out today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Stock up for the weekend. Imports, domestics, microbrews, water, soda, snacks. They roast the peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar, second to none, all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Thanks to Greg Pickle, PennLive.com. And also Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Kevin's on tonight, 6:30 with the Chief, Dave Ritchie. Shikellamy at home tonight with Mifflinburg. 7 o'clock the kick, 6:30 the airtime. And then tomorrow, Penn State football at 3:30 with San Diego State. 2 o'clock the airtime. Kevin wants me to do tomorrow's game in the voice of Ron Burgundy.
You have to say San Diego once.
Be classy, Kevin. Be classy.